Hello.
Can we make it work?
Oh, we can make this work. Oh, we can make this work. I am so hyped. This is already a victory at this point.
I mean, it's been like, you know.
Oh, by the way, wait. Before you say something incriminating, we're recording right now.
It's been 17 years.
Oh, my God. Hey, Jesse May, thank you so much for calling in. I'm not going to lie to you. Everything from here on out is all gravy.
It's all butter. It's all butter, baby. We, you know what we are? You know what we are? We're winning.
Well, we are winning because we have tried to get this thing together quite a few times. Your schedule, my schedule, time zones.
Marijuana.
A little bit of that. Hey, and it's not on you. I'm a drinker. So, like, let's...
Oh, good for you.
Let's all chalk this up as one big win before we even officially welcome you to the Just Talk with Sam podcast. Thank you so much.
I agree with that, 100%.
All right, but Jesse May Peluso, young lady, other than the last interactions we've had, I have been in love with your comedy for so long. You are a veteran in the game, over 15 years in comedy. Before we even get started with this interview, please plug everything related to Jesse May Peluso. This is all you. Go ahead, please.
You guys can find me at GaryBusey.com. JesseMay.com for everything. I have a podcast called the Sharp Tongue Podcast, which is available on Apple, iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, all that fun stuff. And I'm as Queefy May on Twitter, so find me on Twitter. That's real.
No, I know that's real.
My Twitter name is Queefy May, and I stand by it proudly.
All right, well, let's just jump right into it, man. I love you. I love your comedy, mainly because you're not, for lack of a better term, you're not afraid to go there. You say you host a Sharp Tone podcast, and that pretty much define how you are. It's just you say what's on your feeling, you say what's on your mind, and that's always resonated me from the days that I'm going to make this quick because I don't know if you're sick of talking about it or since girl code.
That's fine. You can talk about it. It was only 4 years ago.
Just for a quick second, I just want to really touch that because that's when I really start like, who is that? And then, And I think the sketch that got me because it scared the shit out of me because it can happen is like the one night stand talk show when someone.
That's funny.
I loved it, but it scared the shit out of me because if that happened to me, I wouldn't know what to do.
You have a credit, you know. You can't hate the credit. Everybody wants a little TV credit, so you know you just have to be like, "Hey, I was on the one night stand talk show," and they'd be like, "What?" And you'd be like, "Don't worry about it. Do you have a TV credit? I don't think so."
But like I said, I know you. I don't know if you're tired of talking about it, but is that like what you're known for? Like, I mean, not like where people just walk down the street. Hey, you're that girl who told me who told my girlfriend I wasn't shit, and you were right.
I mean, people. Yeah, I mean, definitely around the time when the show was on air and I was on it. I left after the second season, but people are always, you know, coming up to me in Marshalls, and that's the place I get recognized always is in Marshalls with my mom, like. It's never anything fancy. And I was talking with Carly about that, too. Carly, who was on Girl Code as well. We were talking about how we get recognized in the worst places. It's like Panera and Marshalls. But, you know, I'm always happy when, you know, it's work. And I've done a lot of stuff since then. I've been on, you know, all my friends had shows, and I was on all my friends' shows. I was lucky to be on the At Midnight with Chris Hardwick and Comedy Knockout. I've done all their seasons and some fun stuff on NBC and stuff on True TV. So it's just, the Girl Code definitely opened a lot of doors for me. So I'm always happy for that. I don't care if a bitch recognizes me in my no makeup face at Marshall's when I'm shopping with my mom. And I've had a couple glasses of wine and it's only 2 p.m. Go ahead, girl. Let's take this selfie in front of HomeGoods. Let's do this.
I mean, like, and the reason I bring that up, and I this is a hacky question alert, and normally I would not ask this question, but I kind of have to. It is hacky. Just be prepared. I'm glad you mentioned a lot about, like, fellow comedians and stuff like this, because, you know, did a little Instagram searching and stuff like this, and you regularly perform on college campuses. Are you not afraid of that, mainly because of PC culture? But the reason I ask is the people who watch Girl Code at this point are probably age appropriate for college. Does that still...
Yeah.
Do you run into those dynamics?
I mean, the college campuses are definitely a lot more PC, which is terrifying to me. It's terrifying what's going on in culture in general right now. You know, it's good that people have a voice. It's important to speak up against, you know, any sort of discrimination, any sort of sexual harassment, any place someone's being mistreated. We have to speak up. But we also have to realize there's a balance to everything, and I think when we're entering this PC culture, we have to be careful. We have to be careful that we're also arming our children with the ability to be strong. We can't victimize everybody. Once you start victimizing everybody, then it gets real dangerous. Because if you create a society of victims, the wolves are always going to be on the outskirts waiting to pounce. So you got to make sure, while you're creating a sensitive child, you're also creating a child who's able to be strong as well. You know, those two things need to exist. Nature is nature. Wolves are coming for your kids, whether you teach them to say please and thank you all the time or not. So I just go at college campuses when I perform. I'm not, look, you're booking me, okay? I don't come in a light form. I'm not sugar-free. I'm not fat-free. I don't have a light version. I'm not non-GMO. Like, you're going to get Jessie May.
Right.
So when I'm performing on these college campuses, I just think that I'm the little bit of spice that these kids need. You know, so it's like a little bit of shot of adrenaline in their very coveted, you know, cushy world. And take it or leave it, you know. That's how I view it.
That's cool. All right, I'm just making sure you didn't get caught up in no bull, you know, when you go to the colleges and
stuff.
You were
trying to make sure I didn't get softened.
Oh, okay. Oh, well.
You were just texting me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, the reason I ask is because, now I say this, and I am tiptoeing the shit out of this Me Too line. So I'm just going to just bear with
me. Walk into it. Why you got to tiptoe? Jump in the lake.
Because, like, all right, I want to say this. I'm not trying to do anything. Don't Matt Lauer me,
I'm
man.
I'm taken too.
That's what I just want to say. It's just like you've been called a comedic sex symbol. Like you
by
can,
who?
You can Google that. I know it's on Google. Here's my thing.
Really?
I'm dead serious. In preparation for this interview. It's comedic sex symbol. You came in at number 6.
Who's before me? I'm on Google.
Google
right
it. But like when you do this, like personally, now I want to say this. This is not an insult. I don't like mixing the two, like comedy and sex. I don't like mixing the two because when it's time for me to get in the bedroom, last thing I want to do is start laughing.
Why not? Laughter is akin to, you know, an orgasm. It's just a good feeling.
Let me flip that. Because I went to college, and there was a few times where I was on the other side of the laughing in the bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's a laugh-free zone. I need everyone to be serious as hell. But I guess that's why I say that is because, like, you know, PC culture... Is a two-way street. That's why I was making sure. That's why I just said, I was like, you didn't get caught up in no bullshit because who are we kidding? I'm man enough to say that you are easy on the eyes. Just be straight up. I don't need you, dude, to kick my ass. I listen to Sharp Tongue Podcast. I know how it gets down. But what I'm getting at is let me flip the question. Like, social media, as where we are right now, not just colleges, campuses, it, for starters, has been especially kind to you. Because those creeps have, I'm pretty sure there's a few instances, but I haven't seen those creeps on Twitter. And quite honestly, where I've seen you on Vine, rest in peace, but that's where, like, that's where, like, that whole thing was going on. And I'm sure there's some creeps out there, but it was like, for the most part, has been kind to you as well as the podcast and other forms that you're on. So that's like three questions in one. So
yeah, I'm trying to pick out which where.
However you want to start that off.
So like you're just talking generally about like how do I feel about the comedy and being a sex symbol and how those
number
two
six
play?
Look it up. I'm dead serious.
What list was this? I gotta send it to my mom. You're gonna have to forward me the link after, because my mom will laugh so hard at that. It's so funny. I've never, you know, for me, when it comes to, like, performing and, like, how I view myself, I've never really viewed myself as, like, a sex symbol. I've never really, like, you know, thought too much about it. And that's not even a thing that's, like, a strategy. It's just who I am as a person. Like, my looks as a kid, you know, I had very awkward stages, and I know everyone says that because it's a common thing. You know, I definitely had, I had chimples, I had buck teeth, mm-hmm. My hair was crispy and curly, like it wasn't cute. And so my looks were never something that were the forefront of what people focused on. They're like, she better be smart because this one's not going to make it. You know what I mean?
So, oh, trust me, I am fully aware of that. Like, I've had that conversation with God a few times. Like, all right, you better be funny.
Yeah, seriously.
You better be charming, yeah.
You better have a skill.
Yeah.
And so I just, you know, this sexy thing has never been something that I, you know, that I attribute my comedy to. And that's not to say I don't talk about sex and I don't have confidence in my appearance.
You said it yourself, you had to learn skills. Never,
yeah, I had to learn skills in life. I had to learn how to socialize, and I had to learn how to subtract, and, you know, I had to learn planet names, and, you know, I had to develop skills other than just looking cute. And a lot of it comes down to the parents. Like, there's too many parents that are praising their kids all the time. I mean, we got to stop celebrating mediocrity. You know, you got to make your kid achieve something. Make them realize that it takes some work to, you know, succeed. Not just walking out and, you know, just standing in the right lighting. I mean, there's a time and place for that. But damn, also learn a language.
Oh yeah. All right. I'm gonna ham-fisted segue out of this because I'm getting way morning radio show host vibes about myself. Like, oh, she's so hot. No, I'm not doing that on purpose. I'm just saying it came up in your, like, when it comes up, I just want to ask that question. So this has nothing to do with this. I rocks with the Sharp Tongue podcast, and I've learned a lot. For 2018, you, for some reason, put a ban on swearing as much.
And yeah, I'm trying.
Why? Like, you know, like, this whole show is a no-fly zone to that. I wouldn't dock you for that. But for the most part,
I don't know why, like, because, like, I record my sets, right? I record my sets, and I try and transcribe my jokes and improve them and all that, okay? Right. And sometimes when I'm listening, I'm like, damn, I swear a lot. And I know, like, all my favorite comedians, like George Carlin, Pryor, Joan Rivers, top three of their game, of their time, all swore like truck drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I'm not boycotting swearing altogether, just not as much, because here, I'll break it down mathematically.
Okay.
Say you got an hour set, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say I swear, let's just say, just for argument's sake, say I say the fuck word 20 times. That's probably a high average, but in an hour, it's possible, depending on the joke, the tenacity, the crowd involvement. Maybe I say fuck 20 times in that hour. If I just sat here and said fuck 20 times, it would take up a little bit of time. So then you put that into the hour, like say it takes 2 minutes. I've spent 2 minutes swearing when I could have put another joke in there.
I see.
So all I'm trying to do is just shave a little bit of the vulgarity fat. Just a little bit. Not all of it, because it's true to who I am. But that's what I meant when I was trying to, like, not swear as much, just be a little bit more strategic about it. You know, my manager, Chris Mazzilli, he's been in my career, in my life for years. He also said it. He goes, you know, you're too good to swear as much. And I was like, all right, you're smart with a compliment. Pretty good psychological tactic, and I'll raise you one, and I'm going to try and, you know, be a little bit more strategic. So that's all. Fuck that.
Okay, I mean, there you go. But, I mean, here's something else. I was sad to hear from your podcast. I like listening to it, but me and you, we share a lot of similarities. Other than, like, yeah, for starters, you're a drinker just like I'm a drinker.
Yeah, I like to drink. Well, actually, I don't drink as much anymore, but I do love a tequila. I love a bottle of wine myself. So
and
yeah.
That's where I'm brown all day long. Give me. I'm a whiskey guy, bourbon guy. That's where we live. Now, here's something that one of the things that we do share, me and you have, especially after listening to the last few podcasts, me and you share a big fear. Like, one of the biggest fears, like, I'm not afraid of Illuminati. The only thing I'm really afraid of is, like, a vengeful God. But, like, but this one, it gives me concern. How you said, like, fear the future of artificial intelligence.
Oof.
Like, do you know about the singularity? I hate to get all conspiracy theories here, but you know about the singularity, right?
Break it down for me. I know a little bit.
Oh,
tell me from your perspective.
Shit.
Oh, God. Am I going to lose my mind?
Yeah. Yeah, you are.
I just took a hit of my joint.
You
okay,
should.
Go ahead.
Okay. Here's the singularity. And I'll give you the quick version. The quick version is this. All of our electronic equipment that we use all become self-aware.
What?
Yeah. It's fucked up, isn't it?
Yeah.
It becomes self-aware and decide if we become the hangers-on. So my cell phone, I'm not using my cell phone. My cell phone is now using me.
How, though? But, like, in what way? Because if we get text messages, people are actively messaging us. So how is that the cell phone being going, you know what I mean?
Oh, because the
cell phone. Give me an example.
Okay. All right. Example of the singularity is, like, all right, with cell phones, right?
Okay.
This is way better described in the episode of Black Mirror. And I think it's called Be Right Back, if I'm not mistaken. All right, here's the deal. The cell phones pretty much it listens to you. You know, it knows how you speak. It knows what you mean. It knows your jokes. It knows your context, right? It's not just words. It's just context of how you are as an individual, because essentially you've given so much information to it because that's how we live our life, right?
Yeah.
Now this episode of Black Mirror took it to a whole new extreme, and I'll give it like the fast version. The fast version is this: his wife, husband was a truck driver, right? Driver had a bad accident, died on the road. At the funeral.
Is this a true story?
No, this is not a true story. But it can totally happen.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So, truck driver died on the road, right? At the funeral, dude's sister says, hey, the grieving process is going to be hard, but we're going to make this a little bit easy for you. Hey, do you still have his phone? She said, yeah. She says, I know this company that's just going to go through his Gmail. And now you get emails from this guy, the dead guy, as if he never died. Because that's how...
No, that's not okay.
Wait, it gets creepier. You ready for this?
Jesus.
6 months later, right? You still miss your husband. Says, hey, you still got his phone? Like, yeah. Well, here go the text with all the inside jokes. And if you pay a premium, those texts, those emails are now no longer texts and emails. They're his voice. So like the same shit, but now his voice. 3 months after that, she says, you pay this premium. Okay, the voice. Hey, we know what he looks because we got his phone. Nope. We got all his pictures. So now nope. They got a dude that looks just like the dead husband.
Absolutely not. I'm signing off.
Hold on, wait. There's more. You ready for this shit?
Oh, God.
Since we know the dude, the actor comes to, they have this like artificial robot. All you got to do is just add water. And now the dude is walking around the house with all nope. the knowledge that he had.
I'm setting it on fire.
Oh, but that...
Like I'm breaking it down and I'm setting it on fire. Nothing's meant to last forever.
Yeah, see, you gotta watch that episode because it fucked me up. It really did.
Black Mirror is too real. Black Mirror, it's like... You watch an episode, and I need like a week recovery. I don't know about you, but I could not binge that show.
You're talking to a guy who did. Like I binged that show, but there was a lot of breaks. It was a lot of oh, that shit was too real. That shit was too. So yeah, so when you said that on your podcast about like being afraid of the future and artificial intelligence, I was like, oh, you have no fucking idea who she's calling later on today.
God damn it. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of terrifying. You know, in one sense, these devices are amazing. Technology is amazing when you look at advancement in medicine and the ability for us to communicate with loved ones that are far away, yada yada yada. But then when you look at the other side of it, the reality and how things are being built and robots are getting more realistic and you know, it's just like I got enough out there, enough competition in the world. Like every regular girl has enough competition with regular women. We don't also want to worry about our dude wanting to fuck a robot. Like I just can't compete with that kind of, you know, that kind of ability that a robot has. They're just so efficient. I can't compete with that artificial intelligent efficiency. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Like,
just limit the competition.
Like, I have a problem with people who are better than me in real life. I don't want someone making a perfect version of what I strive to be. That's fucked up. Now, speaking of dead guys and artificial intelligence, can we talk about someone that is finally dead to you? And I gotta ask why. John Stamos! Stamos!
To me. DTM. Dead to me.
Can you get into that a little bit?
Yes. Thank you very much. I was very upset that he, first of all, asked this girl to marry him. All right. His girlfriend, Caitlin Hugh. And he asked her to marry him in Disney World, which was just so cheesy. Really, Disney World, like, maybe the most cute, romantic place any girl could ever ask to be married to anybody. But also, it was a shotgun engagement and marriage because she's, like, 37 months pregnant with guess whose baby?
I'm guessing Stamos.
It's Stamos' baby. You're absolutely right. He did this without consulting me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even send me a tweet to be like, hey, bae, sorry, we're going to have to end our love affair because I'm asking this girl to marry me in front of the magic fucking castle.
I'm not going to lie to you. I was rooting for you guys. And I mean, like, throughout the total arc of your podcast, I was rooting for you guys. Like, maybe, just maybe, he would. You could bump into him and then.
And then I'll be pregnant.
Well, that's how you keep him. I mean, he is Stamos.
You bump in, yep, you get him pregnant, and then it'll be like sister wives.
You know, that can still happen.
You know, I love your positivity and your optimistic outlook.
Okay. How about this? How about this? Now, we call up Elon Musk since we're using the power of positivity. We call up Elon Musk, and I need him.
Okay.
And that's another dude that I got a problem with. All right, and I want to say this.
I'm Googling his phone number right now.
I want to say this, and that with all due respect to Elon Musk, because he can hear me. I'm sure of it. But, and I say this as a married dude. I get it. But he got Amber Heard. I'm just like, dude, what the?
Are they still dating?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm like, this is a dude, like, it's not because he got Amber Heard. Play on, player. That's not what I'm getting at. I know he could totally cure cancer tomorrow. And I feel as though when he comes home and looks at Amber Heard, they're like, I'm straight. I don't feel like doing that today. And like,
yeah,
because it's Amber Heard.
But, you know, it's that sort of thing, like, comfort breeds content, you know, when you start and you just, some humans, it's never enough. And maybe someone like him, I would think, because he's just so, his brain is functioning on, like, full cylinder, more cylinders than most of us.
Right.
Like that movie Lucy. Remember the movie Lucy where her brain just was so much smarter? He's like the real life Lucy. I mean, this dude's building spaceships. This guy, if it weren't for him, future generations probably wouldn't even know about NASA because that's been defunded. This guy's like revitalizing space travel in a way that is so progressive that he's going to be one of the most already is, but when the future comes, he's going to be the most influential entrepreneur and businessman that I think the world has yet to see since, like, Tesla.
And didn't he scare the shit out of America at once with the rocket?
Yeah.
All right.
Apparently there was one that was, another one that took off this morning at, like, 6:30 from LA.
Okay. Now, here's why I said we need to get in touch with him. If he built a perfect robot Stamos and dropped him off at your house.
Oh, man. Dropped him off.
Dropped him off.
What is it, a pair of shoes from Wish?
Maybe. Maybe. You don't know.
And dropped him off.
He just dropped him off.
An Amazon box?
Yeah. It's just like, dude, he built a rocket. Is that too... he builds like one special Jesse May rocket. This is just to drop off the robot Stamos, because, you know, he listens to the podcast. So,
oh, my God. That is your question. Would I take it in and make it my own?
Yes.
100%. I'm not an animal.
Okay, well, there you go.
No, I would be so scared.
And yeah, we just need him to, like, stay cool because, like, he's totally on the edge of supervillain status, and we'll have, like, an army of, like, Amber Heard's just to kill us.
Robots? Oh, my God. She's so beautiful.
That's how I know he's thinking about it. Because you couldn't punch back. It was just like, oh, God. Yeah, just take me now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, but I know I ask this to anyone who listens to this podcast. This is all ham-fisted segues. I got to say this. Last thing I learned on the podcast, I know you're doing some work for MTV. Can you talk about it a little bit? Or
yes, I just got done taping Safe Word Season 2 with Terrence J and Leonard Ute, Carly Aquilino, Jordan Rock, Damian Dante, Wayans Jr., and myself.
Such a good cast.
And so fun. You know, crazy show where we get famous people to come on who are our friends in real life, and we have them exchange each other's cell phones, and they go into each other's accounts and post things and push them to the edge where they have to use a safe word because they don't want to post it because it will, you know, potentially cause a little ripple in their apparently perfect career. A lot of fun. All about, you know, almost ruining careers over here at Safe Word.
Oh, man. I saw some about that. I think that was Jason Derulo. Was a couple days ago where it was like, I thought he shot his shot, but apparently he got mixed up with you guys. And
yeah, I was on that episode with him. Yep.
Oh, man. I really I kind of wanted her to just say, like, oh, my God, I always wanted to be with you. And I would have been like, oh, that would have been so awesome.
It would have been.
But Jesse May, I know you're busy. Thank you so much for chopping it up
with us.
I'm busy
now because I'm going to be emailing Elon Musk about my Stamos AI doll.
I got to be honest. We put that in the atmosphere. That would be awesome.
My man's going to be so mad. I'm going to keep Stamos in the closet.
But it's
with it every time
it's
like, start some shit.
You know how powerful Stamos is? And you can say this to your dude. And all due respect to you, dude. Like I said, listen to the show. He may be booking a flight to Detroit. I don't know. But, like, with all due respect, Stamos is so awesome, that is your argument. If he complains, all you gotta do is look at him and, like, dude, it's Stamos.
It's Stamos. It's like, it's just, it doesn't even, it's not even, you're not on the level right now. I mean, you know, Stamos is in his own area, even though he's asking bitches to marry him in front of the Haunted Castle and Thunder Mountain.
Hold on, but wait. Think of the possibilities, though. You got Elon Musk. You can pick the era of Stamos. It doesn't have to be present day.
Oh, you messing with my 1990s heart right now.
Yes!
Messing with my puberty area right now.
You didn't think of that? You could pick a crisp 1997 last season of Full House, right when Rebecca and he moved out. Oh, I know the Full House. I'm down with my Full House. That version of Stamos.
But you know what? That seems like the obvious choice, but you know what I'm going to go for? I'm going to sit and chill. I'm going to wait a couple years. I'm going to smoke my joints. I'm going to chill my dogs and my boo. I'm going to drink some wine. I'm going to let some time pass, because when that girl pops out that baby and 5 years later, Stamos ain't so fresh to her anymore, and she kicks his ass to the curb because, you know, Zac Efron is recently single and she starts dating him, Stamos is going to need somebody to pick him up. I won't even have to wait for the damn AI doll. I'll get Stamos on the over the hill on the way down.
But do you want him with the memories?
Oh, yeah. I'm going in hard. I'm going in where there's emotional cracks.
Okay. Now, hear me out. I like your idea. I love your idea, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
But I would totally trade that for two different versions of Stamos. I'm testing you, Stamos, right now. Do you remember Jake in Progress, Stamos?
Whoa.
Because you're fucking with time now.
Yeah.
Remember Jake and or if you, I know you're diehard. I don't even have to ask this question.
You're going to say General Hospital.
Oh, no. ER Stamos.
Oh, shit. Yeah, with the hair.
Exactly.
Nah, I'm still taking him on the way down. Emotional openness, emotional vulnerability. I don't need cocky Stamos in the heat of his prime. I need him on the way down. The ride is ending.
Look,
come home to mama. Let's make a casserole and snuggle and Netflix and chill.
Look, I'm heterosexual, but ER, 5 o'clock shadow Stamos? Yeah.
That could be your Stamos. I will put an order in for you with Elon.
Why not?
I'm going for, you know, gentleman years.
I want the throwback. Sorry, no gentleman years. I want the throwback Stamos.
Oh, God.
But like I said, Jesse, man, I'm glad we was able to make this work. Man, this is so much fun. Thanks for calling in. And girl, one more time, plug everything Jesse May Peluso. Go ahead.
You've been wonderful. I am at jessemay.com. Check out my Sharp Tongue podcast and Queefy May on Twitter and Jesse May Peluso on IG, y'all. Live your truth.
Live your truth. Oh, thank you so much, Jesse, man. Hey, don't be a stranger. You can come back anytime you want.
I appreciate you. We made it work.
I'm so hyped about that.
General Hospital, Stamos Al, immediately.
Oh, man. I'm going throwback Stamos. That's how you do it.
You are. Not even ER. You're gonna get the beginning of time. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for coming on. I'll talk to you.
Bye.
Bye.